Wake Up Call on WTLS, 1300 AM, 106.5 FM, also on the TuneIn Radio app. And we bring in Wade Shipman, superintendent of Tennessee City Schools, and the new principals at Tennessee High School, Chet Stewart, and Southside Middle, Tim Collier. Appreciate y'all coming in today. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah. Up and at them early as I'm sure you guys do probably pretty regularly, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Yeah. Congratulations, both of you. I know you're excited about the challenges coming up. It'll be fun to move into new roles for both of you. We'll start with you, Chet. You've been at the high school for 13 years now as an assistant principal, right? And you're ready to take the next step. So tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. I've been there 13 years and been under three different leaderships, three different principals. So I've kind of saw three different approaches. And so I'm just trying to take the best from each. And, of course, Matt was there for 8 years, so he was there for the longest. And he got us headed in a good direction, so I'm just trying to build off of that.
Is it something that you thought that, you know, one day I do want to do this, or you always felt like, well, maybe I'd like this, you know, this assistant principal's role? How did you kind of look at that going over the years?
Well, you know, with my children so involved in sports, I wanted to try to make as many games as I could. So early on, I would say the first 7 or 8 years, I was just content being the assistant principal. But in the past 4 or 5, I've kind of been building toward the principalship. So.
And your son is at Edgewood, just graduated, right?
Correct. Yeah. So the timing
most
was
recent. Yeah.
Yeah. The timing was perfect.
Are all your kids graduated through school now? You still got a girl, don't you? That's still.
Well, I've got a son that's in the 10th grade or being the 11th grade at Eclectic.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are.
They're done.
They're yeah.
Yeah. So it works out a little bit. I understand that. I mean, you're a family man. You want to be able to. And the principal's job is not a 7-to-3 job. It's it's a lot of nights at the school and things like that that you miss out on. So it gives you that opportunity now to be more into it, I guess.
And I knew that.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to try to take the principal job if I wasn't willing to give the time up.
Yeah.
So, and I'm willing to now. So.
Well, I know
works out well.
And I know you put a lot of time in regardless of all of that going on the side. It's not like you just got a pass. You take your turns. But, Tim, you're a Tennessee High School graduate. Your first job at the school system as an educator was at Southside back in 1998, so you're no stranger to this either.
That's right. Yeah, I got started in 98, and Ron McDaniel was a principal down there, so I did the in-school suspension program down there for 5 years. And actually, me and Chet coached against each other back in the late 90s,
remember that.
Early 2000s for a couple of years.
Yeah, yep. you were with Bruce on his staff as the high school coach.
That's
and,
right.
And, of course, you were coaching basketball high school at Wetumpka.
Yeah,
so.
I got the better of him, I think. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I think it was kind of even.
I think we actually split.
Yeah.
Both years, actually.
So I know you both can coach basketball. Who's the best player? I know both of you can
he
play.
He is by far. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Now, come on.
He went beyond high school. So.
Yeah, with the staffs we had over the years, I mean, we would have a heck of an alumni basketball team or a staff basketball team, wouldn't we? Yeah, when you think about it. And I'm sure, Wade, you can mix it up with him. You got the height. You coached a little yourself back in the day. So why not? Yeah.
We used to beat the varsity back in the day with the faculty, but we couldn't beat the varsity now.
Yeah,
thanks. We watched them several times this year. So,
how about the chance to come back to your alma mater and be able to be involved with this program or this school system now?
Yeah, I'm just super excited and so thankful for the opportunity. Looking forward to it. It's, you asked Chet the question if he could see himself doing that. You know, when I first started, I was so gung-ho into the coaching aspect of it and the school. I really didn't see myself in that role, but as time passed and I considered getting into administration, that was definitely one of my goals, to come back to Tallahassee and serve in this capacity.
And you've got a daughter that's, I guess, going into the junior year this year, correct?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got – well, Courtney's a – she'll be
She's
a
graduated.
Senior at AUM.
Yeah.
She finished a few years ago.
She went to Tallahassee, obviously, yeah.
And then Kirsten has kind of gone with me wherever I've been. So she started at Tallahassee. Went to Redland, came back to Tallahassee, and then went back to Eclectic. So she's actually going through the virtual program right now. She's taking a class this summer, taking pre-cal.
No kidding.
Online this summer, so that's what she's doing right
now. What will she do this fall? Is she coming back to Tallahassee or going to stay kind of the virtual route or what?
She's also doing the tech school in Wetumpka. She's doing the two-year nursing program, so more than likely she's going to stay put. Just really don't want to have to move her again.
Yeah. So. She's a pretty good softball player too, right?
She plays. Yeah, she actually she took a couple of years off here and there, but I think it's actually served her well.
Yeah,
doing that. But yeah, everybody's doing great.
So you're familiar with the Tattlesee, and I know obviously as a former student yourself and administrator in the program, now you get to come back and go to the middle school. So I know you're excited about that opportunity. And I kind of put that before both of you, and Wade will talk more about this too. But y'all are kind of looking at an unknown coming up this fall with the year ahead, with what we just ended with the coronavirus cutting a year short and having to do virtual classrooms, basically.
Right.
What are your expectations going in? How are you looking at it?
Well, go ahead, Chet.
No, you go ahead.
Well, that's what we were, they just got back from the meeting, and he said basically they're going to leave it up to the school systems. I'm sure Mr. Shipman will get into that. But my thinking was going in, we got to prepare like we're having regular school day one, and then we're going to have to make adjustments, from there. And it might change, a month into it. So we got to be prepared for everything.
How was it like finishing up the year like it was last year, Chet, for you guys? I know you did get at least to have some type of graduation, but it was certainly different.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely different. We kind of focused on our core classes more than the elective classes.
Yeah.
Because it was such an unknown. A lot of our teachers were on Google Classroom, so it worked well with them giving assignments and returning assignments. But some of them needed a packet.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely different. But good that we kind of went through it. So now if we have to go through it again, we'll kind of know what to do, what worked and what didn't work, and go that route.
And I'll let you kind of chime in on this, Wade, because you just returned from Point Clear and the superintendent's conference that kind of looked at some of the possibilities. So what can you tell us today? And I know we're awaiting Dr. Mackey to come out and have another breakdown and update tomorrow. So where are we on this?
Yeah, the State Department, and he's had a group of volunteers. Well, I say volunteers, they're superintendents from around the area and around the state who've helped put together a roadmap to reentry into the school year or into reopening our schools. A lot of those elements of the roadmaps are going to give us direction, but a lot of decisions are going to come back and basically lay at the local school level for us to make those decisions. We expect to try to start the school year as normal or as much as the new normal is. But we need to take into consideration the CDC rules and what their recommendations are, as well as what the state has suggested with our own public health statements that have been put out. And so we have been working on one key area that we've been trying to work on has been doing our best to eliminate some of the gaps in our Wi-Fi coverage, in our coverage in terms of people being able to get internet access at home. I think probably it's hard for me to think that there'd be any superintendents in the state of Alabama that would think that we're not going to be in some virtual school in the fall or next school year at some point. There's going to be two ways of looking at this. The first thing is that there's a, and I think it's our public health, Department of Public Health is putting together a rating system. And I think they're doing it right now where they rate each county based off how many active cases are going on. And so if you have a certain number of active cases, then you're going to be considered a red zone. And so it's going to be a high zone of infection. And so there's going to be different recommendations for that versus if you're in a green or yellow or orange. There's actually four ratings for it, depending on how the percent of infections that there are in your area. And so based off of those factors, we'll determine what we do as a school. And so if we're in a red zone, if our school becomes a hot zone in our county, around our area, we're probably going to go 50-50, meaning that maybe we're going to have some of our kids coming one day and some kids go the next day, some kind of rotation, or we may go 100% virtual for a week or two until we're out of that red zone. And so we are planning to have the flexibility to basically move in and out of these zones as needed. And that's going to be the real challenge. So the state has actually put out a bid for a virtual program that contains content for all of our subjects. And I don't think that's been made public who's won that yet. But as soon as that comes in, there's going to be training. We actually changed our calendar. I think we shared that with you. And one of the reasons for changing that was so that we could have some extra days at the beginning of the school year, so we could do more professional development for our teachers and get them prepared to use some of this virtual software that we're going to have available to us, so that we can, you know, we talk about, you know, the end of last year versus the beginning of this year. We did the best we could, you know, to finish out the year, but this next year we want to do better than that. You know, we, you know, that's, of course, that ought to be our goal anyway, to do better today than what we did yesterday. But we would like our virtual, the look of our virtual school, our virtual learning, to be better than what we finished it with last year, so that we can continue to make some gains academically. And I think things are falling in place, but it's there's a lot to do, and there's decisions to be made yet. So
you mentioned the calendar, so we're starting a little bit later than we have in past years. The 19th is the start date slated, at least. Do you need some sort of indicator from the different parents for their kid on how many might be coming back? Would you have an option to do virtual only for them, or would they, you know, be required, if you're going to Tallahassee, to do whatever we have kind of in place? How will that be looked at as we get into August?
That's a decision that hasn't been made yet, but I think we're looking at that as an option to see if there's a way to do that. And if we're in a position where we're doing a rotation with our kids, then there will be virtual lessons prepared every day. I don't see that being an issue in those circumstances. But if we're teaching a more traditional, if we start school more traditionally, and we're expecting our teachers to both teach virtually, have virtual lessons and those traditional lessons, I think that's a different challenge altogether. So I think that's something that we're still working through to decide how that can look for us. But obviously there are virtual options out there. We would like them to be able to stay within our system as much as possible with those options. And hopefully that'll be the choice people will make. But we're going to be doing a lot to quarantine. You know, one of the things we have to do is we have to develop some procedures to decide how we are going to do some things like taking temperatures and isolating kids who are sick. And one of the biggest issues is going to be some of our faculty and staff, because they're the groups that are at the most risk in terms of risk categories related to COVID. So again, you know, the idea here is to have some plans in place, and then and then obviously we're going to do the best we can to implement those plans. One of the things we've looked at, we've purchased equipment to be able to sanitize our schools on a daily basis, which I think will be huge. There's a lot of different aspects of this.
That's a ton. It could be beneficial, actually, if you do have some that opt, if you have the option to do virtual only, and
sure,
then because the classroom sizes could be smaller and you got less interaction. Do you look at social distancing within a classroom and a number of students per class? And then some of these things will have to be determined, I'm sure. But is that in the mindset right now?
We've discussed that a little bit, but there's the whole idea of social distancing. That's one of the issues of moving to that rotated schedule, where you have half come one day and half come the next day, and whoever's not there today is going to be tuned in virtually that day. So I think that takes care of that more so than having everybody there. Although even though you're going to have everyone there, there should be a way to social distance those kids and do our best to spread the kids out the best we can.
I'm curious that you mentioned procedures. And when we get to the year, and when somebody gets it, I'm going to say when, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's
we all know that. It's yes. Not just, you know, we're going to get sure. Through the whole school year, nobody's going to have the coronavirus. It's with a system as many students as you have and faculty and staff. And if they're out for a couple of weeks and how we deal with it, it just really brings a lot of things to the table on how you're going to have to handle it. It sounds really mind-boggling.
It's going to be a very challenging year. One of the things that Dr. Mackey, one area, is an area called contact tracing, which is kind of what you alluded to. You know, what if someone has been sick, or what if they've been around someone? You know, it's not even if they've got it. What if the person has come is someone that they've notified you that they've been around someone that has come down
exactly.
with it. So there's this whole contact tracing model that we're trying to get a hold of, get a grasp of in terms of how that's going to work.
And you're allowing trust there from people, too, because if it's within the family and it's not a student that's testing positive. I want to ask another question on top of that. You mentioned temperature checks. That seems like something that could possibly be done. I know doctors do it when they go into hospitals, and it's a quick and pretty easy process. But testing, when you have so many students and on a regular basis, it seems like it's not feasible to me.
No, I don't think. And that was one of the recommendations that we don't need to be setting ourselves up as a testing center. Because there's a lot of factors in there. If we're a testing center, does that mean if there's someone else that needs to be tested, they come into our location to be tested? And so there's a lot of issues related to that.
But could we see students every day when they walk in, they get a quick test, and I'm saying test, temperature check, and walk in the door?
What we're looking at is having students having their temperature tested. You know, we did a bid opening earlier this, I think it was back in whatever it was, April or something, right after this had hit. And one of the things we did is we set up a nurse's station. Everyone that came in got their temperature checked, and they asked us a couple questions about, are you symptomatic, and have you had any headaches, they asked us a couple questions about it. And I think that's the kind of stuff that you're going to see. It took 30 seconds or something, it didn't take very long. And so we're going to see something like that in our system, where we just have to lay out the logistics of how that's going to look at each school. But then when it's kind of like triaging, once someone has a temperature over a certain degree, that doesn't mean that they necessarily have COVID, but then you have to move them on to the next stage. What does that mean that, you have a high temp? You can't just move them in with the group. So there has to be a way to move them to another area.
Can you turn them around and send them back home?
Well, we deal with that all the time as it is, in the past we have kids with the flu and other things, and sometimes those kids are sent on to school anyway.
Yeah. So when you think about it, they're there. They're kind of your responsibility. And then you got 10 kids that are at high temperature.
Yeah.
What do you do with them? Where do you put them? That just seems like a real nightmare to me.
It is. Logistically, we're still looking at those things to see where they're going to be isolated to, but they'll have to be isolated.
One more thing on athletics at all levels. I know they start playing as middle school, and then they go up to high school as far as team-type competition. Where are we on that? Do we think that's going to be – obviously it could be different, but will we have it? Will we have bands at games? Will we have cheerleaders? All these things, you got people around people, a lot of people.
Well, Mr. Savarese was at our meetings, and he spoke to the superintendents, and they're still discussing some elements of what they're going to do, but they're going to use some of the same things that are being discussed for schools in general in terms of deciding or their recommendations are going to be so that if a school is in a red zone area where they have a high number of cases, does that school forfeit their games? Hmm. What's going to happen when another school, if they choose not to go into a red zone, or do they have to forfeit?
Boy.
One thing that he did say was that if a team forfeits, it does count as a forfeit. That's the first thing. And he said there won't be any rescheduling of games. So I did get those two.
You can see where that could be.
Yeah, there's just
too many
problems.
They couldn't really make that happen if you start forfeiting to make
up. Too many problems with that. So I think, there's going to be some challenges with that. But, at the end of the day, I think sports and activities are one of those areas that helps us as a community, as a country, helps us to feel like we're back on a path towards normalcy. But at the end of the day, everyone wants people to be safe. And so we don't want to put people in such a bad position.
But they're extracurricular activities.
They are.
Outside. Yeah,
That's exactly right.
You mentioned activities being, choir. You got all the,
right.
You have show choir and those type things too. Those are up in the air, obviously.
Absolutely.
Did Mr. Savarese act as if things are going to happen when we come to football. For instance, August the 20th, Tennessee plays Realtown. Everybody's asking about
that. Yeah, I think they're looking at – I think they have a good feeling that that it's going to happen. But I think what it looks like is to be determined. You know, if you're looking at like a restaurant, are you going to have 50% capacity? And if you're going to have 50% capacity – I'm gonna look over here at Mr. Stewart. How are we gonna maintain social distancing?
In a cafeteria.
How are we gonna, yeah, you know, make certain guarantees? And so, you know, we one of the first things that we saw when we saw the roadmap to reopening our schools was the very first page is a disclaimer. and Dr. Mackey basically said you need to have your attorneys look over that disclaimer and encourage every school system to, if they don't have one, develop one. Because
sign a waiver when you come. Is that what's going to happen?
I'm not sure about signing a waiver, but you know, maybe it's something that's on our tickets or whatever, the purchaser of this ticket or whatever it is. But you know, people know the situation we're in, and so there are times when people are going to make choices that other people wouldn't make. And so, you know, if that's the choice that they make to attend a public event, then sometimes that's going to be their choice. I've just recently asked our central office staff and our school staffs to start wearing masks. You know, it's not been mandated before now. And so it's not really a mandate per se, but I think it's still a recommendation by the CDC. So we've asked our employees to wear masks.
Do you expect students to be wearing them and staff and teachers when we go back?
I think we're going to have some look there. You know, there's discussions about face shields for teachers and for different people. My recommendation is that we do wear them. You know, I think that's one of those small things you can do to help. And so I haven't decided whether that's going to be a decision that's required or not at this point. I'm going to give that a little bit more thought, but I do think that's one of those small prices to pay to give everybody a little bit more safety. So
you're having a board meeting on Monday.
Yes.
And you'll obviously have a report on what Dr. Mackey says and other things. The building project as well is in there. I know there's a lot happening. A ton for you right now.
Yes.
So that'll be Monday night, and it'll be social distancing at the Career Center.
Yes.
Yeah. Appreciate you being here.
Yes.
Thank you. And congratulations again, Tim and Chet. Appreciate you guys coming too.
Can I add one more thing?
Surely.
I want to congratulate these two as well. You know, both of them are have a long history of in administration. And I look forward to their leadership at both of our schools.
No doubt. You got two good men right here, I'm guaranteeing that. So look forward to the year ahead. Hope it's a good one, and we'll get through this together, as they say. I think everybody's used that line, but it's a good one. Appreciate y'all being here.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank y'all. Tim Collier, Chet Stewart, new principals at Southside and Tennessee High School, respectively. Of course, Wade Shipman, superintendent of the Tennessee City School System, with us here on the Wake Up Call. More coming up here on WTLS.